Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the phones. Hey, Mike in Santa Clara, what are you doing, man?
Not too much, man. I'm actually just about to get home from work and everything. So
good.
I was going to talk about one thing, but I'm just going to make it very brief because I want to pivot to this Campbell thing. One thing I was going to make mention of is with the defensive backfield, the defense has a lot of work to be revolutionized, if you want to say. But I want to see what they do with the defensive backfield. I do want them to stop looking into, and again, obviously changing the scheme up, depending on if it's still going to be the same DC or a different one. But I want them to look at, instead of a box safety, I want them to actually look into and maybe going into more of a true safety, strong safety, free safety kind of format in that case. So that was the one thing I was going to say about that. But I wanted to pivot to this Campbell thing. You know, out of anything, this guy literally just shot himself in the foot. You know, he made it, he's selfish. He didn't want to play. And the fact that, you know, other teams are going to see this, it's going to stand towards his character as a teammate on a football team. You're just looking out for yourself, and I understand, you know, maybe you just didn't want to play because you already knew that the season was potentially done with or what, but at the same time, you know, the other teams are going to look at that. They're going to see you as a quitter. So I just think that this guy literally shot himself in the foot for any team and just ruined his career in regards to getting a bigger payday than what he should have gotten. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Mike, I agree. I don't know. Do you agree with this? I don't think he ever plays for anyone ever again.
No, career over.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you? It's one thing if you are a really good player, and I think about Antonio Brown, who kind of did what he did in Pittsburgh, and he violated the locker room protocol, and he went on Facebook Live, I think it was, might have been Periscope, shout out the Scope, and he did what he did, but he was still a really talented player, and so the Raiders thought, oh, you know what, we could really use him, and we can fix him, and well, it turned out you didn't. Devondre Campbell is not that. He's a middling, fledgling, fringe, borderline NFL player anyway, and now you up and quit on a team in their hour of need.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you're super talented, you're given a second chance and a third chance. When you're Devondre Campbell, this was your chance, bro.
Yeah, I think you're underselling who he's been in the league a little bit. But
no, it's
I
who
think
he is now.
It's who he is now. Yep.
He's been a good player, but he's, what, 31 years old?
September 9th is the night the Niners played the Jets. Okay? September 9th. Devondre's Twitter. Thankful for every opportunity I get to suit up and take the field. Thank you, God.
Mm.
Prayer hands emoji.
Yeah. Any tweets from last night?
I don't think so.
Thankful for every chance I get to leave in the third quarter and go get warm and dry.
Yeah.
Prayer hands emoji, umbrella emoji.
Most recent tweet was 9 days ago, and he wrote, no matter what you do in life, people are going to have an opinion about you, so you might as well just do it your own way and live with the results.
There you go.
Well, that one works pretty well, doesn't it?
Yep.
You're damn right we got an opinion about you, and you're going to live with the results,
yep.
too.
He's doing it his own way.
He sure did.
Which is almost unheard of.
Yeah, there's a reason it's unheard of. It doesn't work. But
well, especially
that's fine.
Football.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't want to play football anymore.
Right.
Like, maybe not anymore at all. I don't know. He's been around for a while. He's made enough money. Maybe he doesn't want to play anymore.
Well, he didn't want to play last night.
Yeah,
and that's all you need to know. And you got a situation where you've played the fourth most snaps out of your entire team all year. So, Mark, that's the thing that sticks with me. It's not like you were getting screwed all year, and this is a straw that broke the camel's back. Dude, you've played 87% of the snaps.
That sticks, but here's the secondary part of that, which I would want, like, if I don't know Devondre, if he were sitting in front of us right now, my number one question, dude, what did you think was happening when Dre got healthy? Like, I don't care if the Niners told you, in emailed you, texted you, didn't tell you. I have no idea how that went down when he signed. But you should have assumed. You should have known. When Dre Greenlaw is healthy, I am going to the bench because Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are on this team. And I am not playing over those dudes if they're healthy. Period. How do you not know that? How?
Well, and there's the other part about
possible.
Special teams where, you know, he played a lot of special teams this year, and so you can still make an impact on a football team. If you're a member of a team, then, yeah, you go out there and you get the job done. Mark Grandy filled in for me so capably and eloquently when I was dealing with my voice and my sickness last week, and he knew that when I get healthy, he goes not to the bench, but he goes back to his usual spot. He's still showing up and still doing great because he's a team guy and he understands it. And it's the same thing with Devondre Campbell. They told him for sure up front when they signed him, and he knew. He watched the Super Bowl, and he knows that they've got Warner and Greenlaw ahead of him.
It's a wonderful point. I will say you do not know what Mark Grandy said to me after that show last week. I'll just leave it at that.
He probably said, let's get Dibs even sicker. I like it in here.
Something like that.
Yeah, that was
Dude, I know Grandy.
And there was more. But anyway, Sean in Petaluma. Hi, Sean. What are you doing?
Hey, man. I'm just chilling, man. I had to take the day off today because that loss just hurt me so bad. But hey, let me just say this. As soon as they showed the Trent that wasn't Trent, I already knew it was bad for us. You know what I'm saying? And as far as Debo is concerned, it's very interesting that after the tweet, they, like, kept feeding him the ball. And it's only fitting that he dropped every single one of them, you know? And he just got punked out. And we lost this game today because of Purdy, which is actually the only time that that's happened. You know, this is the only time that he actually was the one that, you know, kind of cost us. Now, there was other things, but that throw in the end zone, that's, like, what did it, you know? And he hasn't done that before. And then as far as the Campbell thing, it's just let him go. You know what I mean? Like, this is the NFL. You know, like, you're getting paid millions of dollars. It's like there's people that would kill to just be a third-string kicker. You know, I know I would be. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, if you want to walk, there's somebody that will replace you. And I think it's almost not a blessing, but kind of a blessing that we lost, because now we can just think about next year and just regroup. And to see Greenlaw out there, that energy, like, wow. Like, imagine if we had that from game one. You know, that's all I got to say.
Thanks. Yeah, look, Purdy is pretty high on my list, too. But I do, the shoulders start to move around a little bit when I say, when I hear him say they lost this game because of Purdy. I'd put Purdy very, very high on the list. The interception, to me, is certainly the play that put you in the darkest hole late in the game. But I think Debo is number one on the list.
I'd put Brock ahead of Debo.
Would you?
For sure.
Okay.
I mean, Brock, there was a number of throws that Brock missed. There were a number of throws that were open that he didn't choose to make.
And a number of throws that were dropped. And that was a touchdown pass. Yeah.
As far as targeting Debo more than you would have.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
10 plays from scrimmage. The first 10 plays from scrimmage, four of them went to Debo. And on one of the other ones that didn't go to Debo, Debo actually made a tackle on Isaac Garendo, if you remember that play. So there was the opening play is a throw to Debo, incomplete. Third and six, they run it to Debo. And in my notes, I wrote, why? Why?
Well, so
why?
Here's something that I was thinking about earlier, and I wonder what you think about this. For those who think that the Niners were, quote, force-feeding Debo because he tweeted, I wonder if it's a little bit more organic than that. In other words, I don't know that the 49ers are like, all right, here we go. He tweeted, we have got to just almost exclusively go to Debo early in the game. But I do think if you're Brock Purdy, organically, there may be this pit in your stomach of, let's see if we can get him involved early. Might have multiple options. It's not like definitely going to Debo, but you might go, I'm going to lean Debo because we want him involved. We want to get him a play. Let's get him feeling good. And obviously it only got worse until the third quarter when then it became, I would argue, the signature bad play of Debo's career.
Yeah, perhaps I'd have to go back through the Rolodex of all the plays, but that was a bad one because you catch it, you most likely go in, or at least you get inside the five, you probably get to the pylon, and it's a touchdown, and you go up 10-3, and the game feels a little bit different. But I do think that what you're saying is more accurate. Maybe it wasn't organic, but you want to get Debo going, and you know that you get him the ball, you get him involved, and if you can get him rolling a little bit, he's going to feel better. Maybe it's in light of the tweet. Maybe it's just knowing who he is as a player and a guy who he wants the ball. He wants to contribute. But I look at those first three drives, and the one thing that strikes me is Kittle. The second possession, you get a 33-yard hit to Kittle down the middle, and you try to throw it to him again in the next possession on third and four. You threw a deep ball to Kittle. After that, I didn't see a lot of Kittle in the game plan, and Juwan Jennings wasn't really featured at all. In the game plan.
Well, I mean, and he had, how many catches did Juwan end up with? Three? Four?
I think that's right. Let me find
it
here.
He had two drops also. I know one of them, that's a little hefty of a word to use, but I mean.
Two catches.
He only had two?
Yep. I got one as a drop.
Well,
nine targets.
Yeah, statistically, maybe only one of them is a drop, but the third down over the middle, he has to sort of, like, it's a sliding catch, not a dive. It was a great throw. It was a very good throw. And it hit him in the numbers, but it was a sliding, difficult catch. I will tell you, if you ask Juwan, he'll tell you he had two drops.
Yeah.
That's a ball that he absolutely believes. And I kept my eyes on him when he went to the sideline after it, and he practically threw his helmet. He was furious with himself because it would have been, by the way, a first down in the high red zone. And
I think that was third and nine at the 50.
Yeah.
And again, that's one I put in my notes was Juice was open. And it was a tough throw, and he slid and tried to get it, and it was incomplete. But
he nailed a receiver in the chest, though. I got no problem with that.
I don't know if that's in the chest. I mean, if he's sliding.
No, but I mean, that was just the nature of the play. It wasn't like I had to dive because it's low. That's where it was purposefully put.
Yeah, I'll punch it up in the all 22.
Yeah, take a look at it.
I was going back to your Puka Nacua call, and it was Hufanga, actually, who was the deep safety on that side.
No, it was Gibson.
I'll show you the play.
I will,
they
too.
They were playing cover two, and Gibson's on the other side of the field.
I know. He's on the other side of the field because that's where he ran to.
That's where he lined up.
No.
I'll show you.
I'll show you. No, I'll show you.
You're so wrong. It's right here.
I'll show you.
You better be careful.
California Lottery, 888-957-9570. If you want to get loose on just how this whole season has made you feel, I would suggest that right now is really, really your turn. Steve Kerr is going to join us in 45 minutes, but we would love to hear from you on how this season made you feel. Dibs used the word frustrated. I said just bummed / very disappointed. What do you say? We will take your calls next. 888-957-9570, the number. Willard and Dibs.
Yard line, one late, able to run him down. Kittle in his eighth year has productive as ever, 33 yards.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
By the way, this is another piece of the puzzle that I think is frustrating. Once again, and I'm not going to say the Niners outplayed the Rams yesterday. They didn't. But for some reason, maybe this is on me, I sort of get allured by the idea of when a game starts, who comes out and looks like the aggressor. And then I get married to that. Not meaning like that's the better team, but I'm married to that as in you're the aggressor. You're controlling this game right now. You need to build on this opportunity in this moment so that this holds and you win this game. And the 49ers were, again, I thought, the aggressor and the better team in the first half of this football game.
3 points.
But right, and not even the lead. And so you don't do what you're built to do, and then you end up in a rock fight in the second half. And boy, the second half is a different animal for the 49ers than the first, isn't it?
Yep.
And they've got to figure that out. If there's one conversation I could have with Kyle Shanahan, my questions would be centered around that, which is what is going on when you get late in a game, and even if you're down by only three, what is it about the scheme that you've built that suddenly just sort of feels like it gets rendered ineffective? And then secondarily, my man, what can you do about that? Because that's a problem. This is no longer a couple of examples. This is a trend, and it's a problem.
Yeah.
And it needs addressing in this day and age of offense in the NFL.
10.9 points per half in the second half. They are ranked 16th. Last year, where do you think they were ranked? Number one.
Number one, yeah.
Number one, 13.9. So 3 points per half better last year
number
in the
one.
Second half. Yeah, thank you. 13.9. They were number one. And there's so many metrics where last year they were number one. Red zone offense, last year, number one. This year, they're in the 20s. Red zone defense last year, they were really good. This year, they're near the bottom. And you mentioned earlier about, I can't remember what word you used to describe the score, whether it was wacky or stupid or crazy.
They all fit.
12-6 was the final.
I can't say it without laughing.
The last 12-6 game was in 2015. It involved the Rams, the St. Louis Rams. Oh. And the last 12-6 game before that was in 2014. It involved the Rams, the St. Louis Rams. They've authored the last three 12-6 games. And, you know, because I always look for scoregami whenever something pops up. And I knew this wasn't one of them, but I was wondering how often there was 12-6 games. And the answer is not very often.
Yeah.
It's been 9 years. Stupid.
That's a good word, too.
No, and you mentioned it. And I was thinking the same thing watching with Lucas and Whitley and Jake Hutchinson up in the booth. It felt like the Niners were not dominating, but the defense was wow.
Yeah, like the
defense
Rams,
was amazing.
You said it earlier. How far into the game when the Rams got their first down?
It was into the second quarter.
Okay.
It was 18 minutes into the game.
It was their fourth drive, wasn't it?
Yeah, one, two, three, fifth drive.
Fifth drive.
Yep.
Come on, you got to do it. Like,
fifth drive.
You have to come out of that with a different score. Because, by the way, what does that also suggest to you? It doesn't just mean your defense is dominant. It means you're winning the field position game.
Right.
Because they're not just punting. They're punting right away. That means they're punting from well into their own territory. You are given plus field position at least a number of times in that first half. You cannot come out of there with a 55-yard field goal and nothing else.
Yeah.
It just can't be.
Three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. And by the time the Rams got their first down, it was 3-0. And part of that is you had the Hufanga drop on an INT, and it's not really a drop when you never actually catch it. I wonder if he has a bruised chest based on where that ball hit
him. Seriously, it looked like he didn't even know it was coming.
It hit him so squarely in the chest, right between the Hufanga and the Fonga. And I know that's on the back, but you get correct. The point.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
between the 2 and the 9, seriously. I think he's 29.
Yeah, no, Stafford absolutely threw a beam right at him.
Right at him. And on that drive where they did finally get a first down, they started at their own 3. And they eventually got across or near midfield and they had to punt.
And they punted.
The whole thing that you're saying is exactly what I was feeling. It's like the defense is totally dominating the Rams, yet the offense just can't get over the hump and get points.
Yeah. How about Nick in Martinez? Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling Willard and Dibs.
Hey, guys. What's going on? How you guys doing today? Yeah,
good.
So, I'm not. listening to you guys kind of calmed me down a little bit. And I actually was listening throughout the day, and I wasn't going to call. But if I did call, it was going to be during your guys' segment because you guys are my favorite. So, here we go.
Okay, Nick,
this
that's right.
entire season. Let's ride. Here we go. And I'm so glad that you referenced Let's Ride because this whole team – it's crazy hearing everybody talk about this person's fault or that person's fault, Brock's fault. This is a system team. It is built like a car, and we are literally watching this car fall apart. And it's not just one person's fault. It's not just the motor. It's the tranny. It's everything. And this season felt like you fix the brakes, and then you get in to go, and then the tire pops, right? It's like it's one thing after the next. It's one thing after the next. It was inevitable for this to happen, though. The players are older. We're watching them go through it, mental exhaustion, everything, right? So this was bound to happen. And I would argue that if it was going to happen, I'd rather it happened this year than next year when we're hosting the Super Bowl at home. So if we are going to just, hey, car's going to fall apart, might as well be now. Let's not go deep into the season and then really take a look at these players or these systems, right, that are breaking down and give them the attention that they need.
Well, Nick, thank you. And thanks for the comments. I do like the optimism that Nick still has for the future. I will say this. I don't know if optimism is the word I would use, but I certainly am not. Let me use the opposite. I'm not going to be dismissive of it. You know, what I will say today, this season's over. Not next season.
Next season's not over already?
Next season's not over.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I mean, that's going to sound stupid. But
sounds funny.
Well, but there are a lot of people.
You know what? I'll see you in 2026.
But there's a lot of people who look at a season go like this, and they'll say the window is closed. And now we got a problem, because now you got to pay Brock, and now you got to get rid of this player and that player. It's funny. I always see this, like, for instance, here's one spot where you and I very firmly disagree today is when you were like, told you it was Super Bowl or bust,
yeah.
And now they're busting it up. No, they're not. They're going to do an offseason the same way they always do. Some people are out. Some new people will be in. Try again.
It's going to be different this offseason, I would predict.
It's different every season.
It's going to be more profound. There's going to be more top-line big names that leave. I do think that two of your three coordinators are going to be gone. Your defensive coordinator, your special teams coordinator, your big boom box-carrying wide receiver might get cut.
Maybe.
Your high-priced D lineman who only played 3 games, probably getting cut. Your corner, Charvarius Ward, won't be back. You've got... you know, Hufanga may be gone. Mason's going to be gone. I do think that the Super Bowl or bust, it's going to be more of a busted up than what normally happens in an offseason.
I guess that I look at this year and I feel like too many look at the roster this year and feel like this was a carryover from last year. And that's part of why everyone was like, you should win the Super Bowl. Greg Cosell literally said it to us on Wednesday. He's like, your personnel is completely different. It's completely different. If we were watching football with the Niners last year, and I had told you, okay, I know it's going well, but tomorrow, no McCaffrey, no Ayuk, no Trent Williams, no Dre Greenlaw, on down the line, no Eric Armstead, no defensive coordinator, like all the things, there are so many things this year that are different than they were last year. And so, yes, I expect that again. But I don't think that means the roster's busted up, the window is closed, and they're not allowed to be a good team next year. I just don't think any of that. This is the job of a professional sports team. It's what Buster Posey is doing with the Giants right now. It's not like a cataclysmic change, but everyone's optimistic based on one player. Like, okay, and we're thinking that more things will happen, but there's changes every single year. This offseason is just, it's just the next offseason.
Just looking at the depth chart from last year, the changes are much more pronounced on defense than they were on offense. Because I'm looking at the depth chart from last December, and put aside the injuries you suffered this year, but Ayuk and Debo and Juwan, Trent, Banks, Brendel, Burford is the one at right guard, Pooney came in and replaced him, McKivitz, Kittle, Purdy, McCaffrey, and Juszczyk. That's basically your starting offense this year. Now, Trent had his issues. He was hurt.
A bunch of them
McCaffrey
were out.
Was hurt.
McCaffrey
Ayuk got hurt, but you didn't make changes other than right guard until you had injuries.
Yeah,
then you made changes.
You weren't doing it purposefully, I think, is what you're saying, and that's
correct.
True.
Defensively,
that's true.
Though, Armstead, last year, he's gone. Chase Young, Dre Greenlaw hurt. Oren Burks wasn't with the team. Tashaun Gibson was gone, and then he came back.
Right.
Ambry Thomas is the other one. So more changes on defense than on offense. I just look at from where we are now to where we'll be next September. I think that there's going to be a lot more turnover on the roster.
You might be right, but you might not be. Like, I do feel like there's a premise being built here that Debo's not on the team next year. I don't know that.
Nobody knows
that. I don't know that that's
what
Kyle
Shanahan
is thinking.
But we all had that same premise back in May. When they were talking about signing IU, we talked about it would be one or the other.
The premise was it would be one or the other. And then they restructured Debo and signed Brandon. And we went, oh, well.
And then Brandon got hurt
not.
And Debo had a bad year.
Ineffective year, totally. So what does that leave you? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what Kyle is thinking with regard
and
to that.
And it becomes really interesting as it pertains to the timeline. And I can't wait to go back to the phones here. But a post-June 1st release is much more cost-effective for the Niners. But what that would mean is you get to the draft in April, and maybe you draft another wide receiver.
Oh, God.
Not with the first pick. I'm not advocating that.
Well, sure, they may at some point. I mean, there's a bunch of picks. Yeah,
for sure. But the point is, you don't want to let the draft go without getting a receiver and then go ahead and cut Debo, because then you'll be left with a recovering Brandon Ayuk, not ready for September, and then Juwan and Ricky and Cowing as your unit?
No, and who knows? There's also free agency. Like, there's a number of ways to do it. But you might not be wrong. Yeah, I don't know. I would suggest, just for the mental health of the fans, to not pick a receiver in the first round. Now, especially since now, by the way, in terms of who saw that coming, guess what? 49ers are probably picking in the first half of the first round. How about that? For the first time in a long time.
Since Kinlaw. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that was a trade, though.
Right.
They traded into the first round for Kinlaw. Manny in Union City. Hi, Manny. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Happy Friday, guys.
Hey, Dave,
I just want to correct you. It's not just going to be Jennings and Pearsall and Cowing. What I'm thinking is that since they're going to release Campbell, they're going to activate Ronnie Bell from the practice squad. So there you go. We got Ronnie Bell back. Hey.
Woo! Problem solved. Appreciate that. I'm going to go throw up now, but go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to throw a quick shade to my boy Goo. I saw him in Union City the other day. I was wondering what the heck he was doing there. He looked like he was picking a fight with those high school kids. But then after I saw what I saw, he looked like he was just talking to another guy. But I thought he was trying to get into it with him.
Go ahead, Manny.
This is what I wanted to talk about, man. And I was telling the guy that picked up. Here's my theory on why Campbell did what he did, right? He looked at the score. He said, enough is enough. You know, you got the offensive captain basically saying things like, we're not playing as hard as we can, and then the offense goes out there and lays a duck. I'm not excusing his behavior. I coach youth football. I coached a team where these kids were undersized, undermanned, and they were not as talented as most of their teams, but they played that game heart and soul, in and out, day in and out. Even whatever the score showed, they fought tooth and nail. So I'm not excusing his actions. But if I wanted to play devil's advocate, I could see it. I mean, the offense basically stunk up the place. Debo talks one hell of a game, doesn't do it on the field. Purdy, I was telling people today, man, as much as we love this kid, it seems like he's fool's gold in some ways. because his shine is starting to come apart at the seams here. He was a seventh round pick. That's the productivity we get out of a seventh round pick. So my feelings for this season moving forward, it got me waxing nostalgic of the days of yore when we had true powerhouse squads. And what this season showed me is it was so reminiscent when those powerhouse squads got humbled in the 91 season. They came so close at the end with their record. If you looked at it, they were 10-6, and this was the time when the Falcons and the Saints won the division. They lost the tiebreaker to the Falcons. As try as they might with that record, they couldn't get in the playoffs. And this is what this season eerily reminds me of. We didn't have Joe then anymore. We didn't have Roger. We didn't have Ronnie. And with all the losses that we have suffered through the years, the powerhouse that we saw in the two Super Bowls, it's kind of like become mid now. So this season's got me waxing nostalgic for the days of yore. What I'd like to see moving forward in the draft come April, if we do, I know some people might be against this, but we need to explore the possibility that maybe a seventh round pick might not be the one to bring us to the promised land. And we need to look, especially if what we have as far as draft capital, we might want to look at something a lot more stable at the quarterback position. I love the kid. I can sing high praises of him, but I'm also realistic about what we have. So, fellas, I'm not conceding the impossible. You know, I mean, this Sunday is really going to play it out. If you look at it, the only team realistically out of the playoffs right now are the Giants. But then again, Sunday is going to come around, and then we're going to see what we're going to see.
Well, Manny, actually, I disagree with that last part. Thank you so much, Manny. But no, the Niners are done. They're not making the playoffs this year, and it wouldn't even matter if they did. This is just I've certainly accepted it as of today. This is not that caliber of a team. I don't even know if that would help them at this point. Now, as far as your talk on drafting a quarterback, I would ask, when do you mean that? I don't think there's any doubt that the 49ers, like they always do, they will look at every position. They drafted Brock Purdy at a time where they thought they didn't need a quarterback. They drafted Brock Purdy a year after they had spent heaven and earth to get their future starting quarterback. So if they see value at the quarterback position, I'd argue next year is a great year to flank Brock Purdy with another young quarterback who will be cheap and who knows how he will develop. It's not like who they have in their backup room right now is all that impressive. So I love the idea of drafting a quarterback. I do not like the idea of drafting one in the first round.
No, and they won't. And if you look at what Shanahan has done, he's looked to make those picks late in drafts. And you go back to C.J. Beathard, who they drafted at quarterback in their first draft in the third round. Now, that was too early, and it turned out that he wasn't a great quarterback, but that, I think, is much more the model. And I'm thinking more and more about this Brock Purdy extension, Mark, and I'm not comparing Brock to this player, but the contract that this player signed, to me, makes a lot of sense for the 49ers, and it's Daniel Jones. And the Giants gave Daniel Jones 4 years and $160 million, and everybody laughed at it because it was a grotesque overpay. But when you look at the details of the contract, only $81 million of that was guaranteed. So if you are sold on Brock Purdy, but you don't want to break the market with Brock Purdy, and you're sold on Brock Purdy, mm-hmm. and you believe that, you know, he still is the guy, but you kind of want to have a possible out, a contract like this makes sense, where you give him a four-year deal, and whatever the number is, probably more than 160, maybe it's 4 years and 180, $45 million a year, and you guarantee half of it, and you pay a lot of it up front in the first year, which wouldn't be next year, by the way. It would be the year after. So he plays next year, then he plays the year after on his new deal with a lot of money front-loaded, and at that point, if you realize, geez, he's not getting better and he's not the dude, well, then you can do what the Giants did with Daniel Jones, which is cut him, eat a portion of it, and move on at that point.
Yeah, I don't mind. And are you talking about a Daniel Jones-style contract or actually Daniel Jones as the backup?
No, I'm talking about the contract.
The contract, okay. Because I don't mind either idea, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, a backup, like Sam Darnold was a perfect backup.
Yeah.
He was a guy who...
And I would argue that Daniel Jones would not be a bad backup either.
Right.
It's not like I saw... It's not because I saw something in him, but I will tell you, like, Sam Darnold is a fascinating case this year. because you do look, and this is one of those things that I wish people would think about when they say, oh, system quarterback, product of this, that, or the other. Yeah, and that's okay. You all love Sam Darnold is in the MVP race this year, and he has been on 4 football teams in the NFL. And he's never looked great before. He's never looked like this. Why does he suddenly look like this? Poof, he's got time.
Yeah.
He has time, he has receivers, and he's got a smart head coach.
Jared Goff is a great example as well.
Jared Goff. And I wonder, it's not like Daniel Jones. I don't think he's great, but let's be real. Daniel was stuck in the same city and the same stadium and the same joke style of an organization that Sam was. Like, he's on the Giants. He's on the New York Giants. And yeah. I know Daboll has got some really good offensive resume stuff there. But, I mean, we watched this team. This is a team that looked at Saquon Barkley and went,
no thanks.
For 12 mil, we can have Devin Singletary for 9. And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's the decision they made.
It's a bad one.
Daniel Jones, I'd be interested to see him get a shot somewhere else.
Grandy with a great point in my ear. I'll give him full credit. Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith. Sure. 2 other quarterbacks, new systems, second chance, and a chance to revive their career.
Totally.
And I do think that, you know, Brock Purdy deserves to get a contract. He deserves to continue to get a shot, but you don't have to pay him max money and be completely tethered to him. You can do a Daniel Jones type of contract where you give him $40 million a year or whatever the number is, but you have an out after a couple years to where if he doesn't really ascend to where he was last year, then you can part ways.
I can almost promise you that what you're saying will happen.
Right.
It is the way the 49ers do business and not something that any of us have talked about. Like, we're so stuck on the 60, 50, 45. We haven't talked one bit about how much of it is guaranteed because there is precedent for quarterbacks to walk in and go, oh, by the way, you'll guarantee all of it. Deshaun Watson did it. Kirk Cousins has done it. That there is some of that precedent. Teams are starting to tap the brakes on it, but that's another thing that could be welcomed into the conversation. Do you give Brock Purdy maybe a couple more million bucks on the average AAV, but then also say, but we are creating an out for ourselves so that when you turn 26, 27 years old, if we don't like the way this is going, we can duck out. We can duck out. And so I'm with you. And I think that that is exactly what they'll do.
And it has to be because the fully guaranteed contracts, as we've seen, usually don't work out. And look at the Browns and Deshaun Watson. I don't know what's left on that deal. I know it's north of $100 million.
Good Lord.
And I'm sure that the Browns don't ever want him to play quarterback again because he stinks. And I think he's played 2 years of his deal, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pulling up right now. Deshaun Watson.
He's got to have about 130 left on that baby.
Deshaun Watson, after this year, still has 2 more full guaranteed years left, totaling $92 million.
Oh, there you go.
This was a 5-year, $230 million.
So he's played 3 of the 5.
Fully guaranteed deal.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're just going to have to eat that. I'm going to eat it.
Eat it.
Yep.
Eat it. All right. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Jason, Redwood Dave, Cowboy Sal, how did this season, Niner fans, make you feel? 888-957-9570. We will also get you ready for Stephen Kerr. He is going to be along here in about 23 minutes, a little bit after 5 o'clock. Steve Kerr will be on with us live, and we'll be talking to him about everything going on with the Warriors, Jonathan Kuminga, and beyond, and the fact that we got a new game on the schedule Sunday, and it's Klay Thompson back at Chase Center yet again, 530warriors.com, because this game wasn't on the schedule. Might be an opportunity for you to pop in and sit somewhere you don't normally get to sit. So check it out. This is Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Thank you, Coach. We haven't spent any time on you yet.
Do I get to make a pick for Sunday Night Football?
No.
I got to wait till the Monday doubleheader.
I mean, you can if you want. Whatever. I don't care.
I'm running cold right now.
You got to make a pick for the weekend. Yeah.
Okay. All right, fine. Packers, Seahawks.
5:45.
Yeah, to keep the Niners season alive.
Boy.
Yeah, right.
Pick is in. I don't really have much in terms of last night as far as the pick goes.
You! I forgot to go after you!
Well, Kurt just did.
Niners -3.
Goosh.
2-game losing streak.
That's not on me.
It's totally on you.
Last night is not on me.
You're now 20-22, by the way.
Yeah.
How is that pick not on you? Literally, the whole room craters whenever you pick the Niners. And Debo. You did it again.
Catch the ball, Debo.
Yeah, Debo. Dibzo.
Yeah. I guess by Monday it'll
That's a good one.
Too late. It was not good. The one.
It was not a one. It was not a 4, but it was not a 1.
Did you do Granny's grades on the internet at all?
I did.
Okay. I don't know if we even have time
he
to get to it.
Gave you an F.
That's fair. That's fair.
There were multiple Fs.
He gave you an F. 12-6. I can't even look at this score without stressing out. 12-6. People bought tickets to that.
You bought tickets to that.
People bought tickets.
You got tickets to
that game. And they sat in the rain and watched 6 field goals.
With their slicker on.
Oh, my God.
I saw Bonte and Joe both in the post game. They weren't happy. Bonte was there, apparently.
Bonte was there.
I know Joe was home.
Joe.
It's funny because
Joe's was a little bit more intense.
I didn't listen to either one of them.
Bonte's
but I watched them both.
Bonte's was like, he was organized. He was on point. He was walking to his car.
Yep, walking through the lot.
It was good. He was.
Well, they're both always so good.
Well, no, Joe's good, but he's just yelling at that phone. He's just so mad at it. He's just like, you know, I like.
What are we doing?
Right.
I want to go back to the playoffs.
Niners, what are you getting? Yeah, and that's fair too. Bonte's was more measured, and it was like a check mark. It's like, you sucked, and you sucked.
Oh, wow, okay.
And you sucked, and we got to talk about you, and you, and you.
I don't listen to him usually, but I do watch him, and I, you know, a lot of times with Joe, I'll try to read his lips because the gestures are so wild.
I'll watch him,
but I won't listen to him.
You watch, but you won't listen?
I'm usually in a spot where I can't just go full volume, and
you just stare at...
I don't stare at it, but I watch it.
You stare at mimes of 95.7 The Game, just like...
You don't need to listen to read Joe their lips. To understand what the emotion is.
You didn't have a choice on one he put out last weekend after the Giants signed Willie Adames. He was in the car with his whole family, and there was no audio. Just him screaming, and no one knew what he said.
And he was fancy. He was, like, dressed up. They were heading somewhere, maybe just to church or something.
Well,
I don't know
where
he was going.
Because the person behind him, I don't know if it was his mom or mother-in-law or whatever, all of a sudden you see this woman's head pop to the side, and then she pops back in.
But you're right, Dibs. You can kind of tell a lot of times what Butch is saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like you even need to do that. I knew before a video even got posted that Butch was mad last night.
Right.
The Niners lost 12-6.
Say it again.
Who the hell wasn't mad?
12-6.
12-6.
And I think you said it earlier. Maybe you didn't. Yeah, stupid. That's what you said. 12-6.
It's stupid. Stupid. That's stupid.
John Sally.
That's a dumb football game.
Yeah.
That's like, it's just not, it's not worth our time.
Right. It's kind of like losing a baseball game 5-0.
It's way worse.
Well, at least
it's way worse.
And somebody made the point in the press box, might have been Jake Hutchinson, where when the Niners fall behind, it's kind of like when the Giants fall behind by 2 or 3 runs and you realize, oh, this game's over.
No, I'll give you a good example because this happened one time. I was there. I swear the game was at least 14 innings. It might have been 18. I can't even remember. I think I'm thinking 18 because of the playoff game against the Nationals a few years ago. But this was like 5 years ago. The Giants are playing the Rockies, and it's like the 14th or 15th inning. And Eric Kratz, do you remember this human being?
Kratz.
Eric Kratz was like the fourth string catcher, and he gets in there. And I don't remember if this was, I think this was pre-pandemic, so I don't think we were doing a runner at second base yet, which is part of why, actually, I know we weren't. That's why it went 14, 15 innings. But somebody was like over at second base or third base, and Kratz fists a pop-up to first base.
Can't say that.
And the first baseman drops it, and the game ends 1-0.
On a Kratz Pfister?
On a Kratz Pfister that was dropped in the 15th inning. That is what happened last night at Levi's Stadium.
Well,
12-6. Use the end zones. Somebody painted those. Somebody worked on that.
Yeah.
Somebody worked all day on that. Use them.
Well, the 49ers last night in the red zone, 0-0. They did not make it in the red zone. Zero trips to the red zone.
Correct.
The previous week, they were 5-6. And you just mentioned that 15th inning game of memory. Do you realize that the last or the longest game in the majors last year was a 12-inning game?
Yeah.
That was the longest game in terms of innings played.
Sure.
And I know that we all want to cut to the chase and automatic runner on second, whatever, but some of the greatest memories, the Washington National game when they won it in 18, right, in the playoffs, and you're talking about a Kratz Pfister in the 15th.
Kratz.
Those great memories are now gone based on this cockamamie runner at second rule. 12 innings, Mark, was the longest game last year. It's a shame.
Kratz Pfister sounds like a fancy beer that someone would order when they're on a date.
It's a nice Hefeweizen.
Yeah, like, oh, I'll take a Kratz Pfister. Great, let's drink.
Not to mention Doug Pfister.
Another good one. Yeah. Didn't that start with a P?
I think so, yeah. PF.
Yeah, right? Silent P?
Former Tiger pitcher, I believe.
Just F.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I don't know where are we right now? Let's go to
12-6. Stupid.
12-6.
And you got into Kratz Pfister.
12-6 is cool if it's a curveball that you threw.
Nice.
Other than that,
shout out Barry Zito.
It stinks. Let's go to Redwood Dave. Hi, Dave. What are you doing?
Hey guys, just getting ready for Christmas here. I was super disappointed on how the season started because the organization needs to do a much better job of signing the players that they need prior to the season starting, like with Trent, you know, and Ayuk, because that just puts a downer on the preseason. It's so much different when you tell a player, hey, we need you, right? As opposed to saying, hey, I know you need me, and you're going to have to sign me sooner or later. So that just put a big dampener on the preseason. And we don't care how much players get paid as fans. What we do care about is how the negotiations affect the team. You know, it just looks like they're not having fun out there, you know. And when you're having fun, like it looked like they used to be doing, that's when you win, you know.
Well,
and it's amazing how other organizations other organizations are able to replace players. And for some reason, the players that we need that are replacing just don't live up to the caliber that we initially had.
Well, it's interesting, and Dave, I wonder how you'd answer this. Like, there's a little bit of a chicken or the egg conversation when you say the team's not having fun. Do you think that they are losing because they're not having fun, or are they not having fun because they're losing?
I think you can still play hard and have fun. But if the team is not enjoying the atmosphere, whatever it is, and you're losing, then that's a double whammy. And that's something they need to work on as an organization.
Redwood Dave, thank you very much. Thank you for the phone call. Enjoy Christmas.
It is definitely chicken or the egg, but I think that teams that are losing in general are going to be having less fun. The New York Giants probably not having a lot of fun.
Not as much
fun. Las Vegas Raiders not having too much fun. The Kansas City Chiefs, when you've won back-to-back Super Bowls and your coach lets you do ring around the rosy and your coach lets you basically do whatever you want because you're winning, that's pretty fun.
I just think sometimes these things are like you organically lose them and you don't even know for a period of time that you lost them. And then once you realize you've lost them, you don't know how to get it back. And I'm sort of talking, I guess, about their mojo. Like they came out, and from the Ayuk conversation to a lot of guys worried about money to overconfidence to injury to a couple of poor signings. And how often did you hear this phrase in the month of August? Bad vibes. It was constant. It was absolutely constant. And I don't know if the players were actually feeling that or not, but we sure were. We sure were as fans. And then you get into the season, you win one football game, you beat the Jets by a lot, and you're like, okay. And that was a super calming night. It's like, oh, wait, no, they're good again. Too many field goals. Mm-hmm. That's okay. They're good again. Let's go. And then the next thing you know, 2 weeks later, they're 1-2. They've blown a game against the Rams. A bunch of guys are hurt, and we are off. We are just rolling downhill on the bad vibes train, and they never got it back. And maybe they're worse than we even know. Dudes walking off the field last night in the middle of the game. Like, I can't
believe... That's one guy, though. I don't necessarily think that that speaks to the overall vibe.
I agree, but I also still... I can't believe that that happened with this team, because we've been trained for years now that this is a no-knucklehead group and a phenomenal, top-notch locker room with great leaders. That's what we... And so for that to happen here was jarring to me.
Well, and I do look at other things like Debo choke slamming or going after the long snapper. That to me is not indicative of necessarily a great locker room. And I don't want to put all the blame for these things on Kyle Shanahan, but it's his house and these things happened in his house. And Nick Sorensen, the defensive coordinator, if you have a defensive player up and just quit on you, well, that's something that, you know, you should probably see coming, or maybe you can't see it coming, but it does reflect poorly on the coordinator when something like that happens.
There's no question. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.